Welcome back, world. This is Saladin coming in from the Chronicles of Black Men. Just wanted to let everyone know that I've been having so much fun with recording these episodes, and it's been a blast getting the feedback from people. It's been really exciting. It's been really fun. It's been motivating me to do more. I got some more upcoming episodes that is going to be straight up hilarious. There's one that I have on deck that I'm not recording yet because I'm trying to get people to chime in on this. I actually want people to be guests. The episode is actually called Ladies Shoot Your Shot, You Just Might Win That Ring. It's basically saying that if women actually shoot their shot towards men, because a study has actually come out that said women who actually shoot their shot actually end up in relationships are more likely to actually even get married. And I don't want to dive too much into it, but I truly and honestly believe that myself. I posted that on social media and my comments just blew up. So there's going to be a lot of people who I really want to get some people on there from opposing sides. I know my wife personally, she's on the opposite. She's just not going to talk to a guy. She's just accustomed to guys talking to her, you know, and we have our own little background story. But anyway, I digress. I don't want to get too far off. But today's episode is a very passionate episode. Today, we're going to talk about something that people feel really, really passionate about on both sides of the spectrum. Man and woman, mother and father, should I say. And I can't necessarily say, I mean, there's a direct contrast on what people believe with this particular subject matter, but it's not always just black and white. There's people who take positions that you wouldn't actually necessarily think they would take that position simply because of their gender. Today's episode is entitled Friend of the Court versus Enemy of the State. I used to always refer to myself as Enemy of the State by the way that the Friend of the Court used to treat me when I used to go in there dealing with them in regards to child support issues, or just trying to obtain rights, or just have the same legal rights as a father that the mother was, you know, automatically given. And so I always felt that I was the enemy of the state, which was an awesome movie. Shout out to Will Smith. But I entitled it Friend of the Court versus Enemy of the State. Should child support be used for the custodial parents' everyday bills? Man, this has been, this topic be on fire. I guarantee it right now, if you was to post this as your topic on Facebook or something like that, or Instagram, you're going to get a whole bunch of comments. Now, this episode is merely to kind of explore and discuss what child support money is designed for and how it should be spent. But let me go along and add a disclaimer that I'm not trying to judge anyone. I'm not trying to tell anyone how to control their home. I have no knowledge or the makeup of the expenses of your home. I'm just merely discussing what child support is designed for and how the system works and what it's supposed to be used for. Okay? I know people still have differences of opinion when it comes to this, and a lot of people interject their personal life into this when making a decision on how to answer this question. But just understand, I'm not coming from an emotional standpoint. I'm not coming from an opinion-based standpoint. I'm actually coming from the legal standpoint. Okay. I think the first thing we need to do before we fully dive into the subject is actually define what child support is. And it's very simple. Nothing complex. Child support is court-ordered payments typically made by the non-custodial or the divorced parent to support one's minor child or children. And for the sake of this conversation, because I don't want it to seem like it's male versus female and be a bias, I'm going to really refer to custodial and non-custodial, because there are plenty of fathers out there that are non-custodial, such as myself. I mean, that's a custodial parent, such as myself. And there are women out there who are non-custodial. The pendulum has been swinging the other way and for quite some time, and the numbers of fathers getting full custody is increasing dramatically. You know, this has always been a very, like I said, this has always been a very passionate discussion for me because personally and professionally, I've kind of dealt with this for a great deal part of my life. I decided to do it because I've had many discussions amongst family and friends and social media groups and in person. It's a very interesting topic when you discuss it civilly, keyword civilly, because you get to see where everyone's head is in regards to themselves as a parent, the other parent obligation. And so you kind of get to see where they are and you kind of get to hear their argument. But I'm one of those people who love to hear opposing argument. I don't like to just sit around and listen to people who agree with my same position because it doesn't challenge me. It doesn't allow me to think. Some people get mad or stray away when you come with them with opposing views because it requires them to think. And if they do that, then 9 times out of 10, they were never thinking themselves from the beginning. They were actually probably regurgitating some information from somebody else that they happen to agree with. But when you challenge them on it, they can't rebut. They have no rebuttal. So they really don't. They really haven't disciplined themselves in that knowledge and in that subject matter. So, before I actually go in to further detail, I think it's very important that I state my credentials when it comes to this subject matter so you don't really think that I'm just coming from an opinion-based standpoint, okay? I'm actually a fatherhood practitioner. And a fatherhood practitioner is a very rare, it's a very rare position that only a few of us in the United States actually have. I became a fatherhood practitioner back in 2010 when I worked for a federally funded government for 5 years dealing with fathers and families. I taught courses on how to navigate through the friend of the court. I taught those courses to mothers and fathers. I was personally trained by the friend of the court. I sat on the Wayne County Friend of the Court Consortium Board for years with the top administrators. So I clearly understand what child support is for, how it's made up, how it's calculated, what it's used for. What I'm saying is not opinion-based. I've hosted many Friend of the Court programs on helping fathers and non-custodial settle FOC warrants. People used to think they were stings, but we would actually get the entire Wayne County Friend of the Court, really. We would set up at the public library downtown Detroit, and we would get all the clerks, we would get lawyers, we would get all of them down there for people who have child support warrants for failing to appear and stuff like that, and they can come down and get it cleared with no fear of being locked up, no matter what it was. I've helped fathers get custody, get shared custody. I've helped them eliminate child support and get child support. I'm experienced in the state of Michigan on the child support formula, so I actually know the formula. I know the formula. I know what they use. I know how they determine it. I know how they split it up. So again, I'm not speaking from an opinion. I'm speaking from a factual, legal standpoint. So first thing I'm going to do is there's two lists I have, my yes and no list. The yes list is the list of what child support is designed for and what it's used for. Clothes, medical expenses, dental, glasses, all that other stuff, child care, activities, and when I say activities, that means like after school activities, football, basketball, cheerleading, all that stuff. You know, that's what the child support is designed for. What it's not designed for, what it's not calculated for, is your rent, your utilities, car note, your groceries. That's not what your child support is for. The reason you can't count rent, utilities, car note, and groceries because those are bills that you would have even without kids. I'm pretty sure all of us have some friends who don't have kids who still have to pay their rent, their utilities, their car note, and their grocery bills. In some cases, some of these bills are optional and choice-based depending on circumstance and where you live. So, you know, this is one of the reasons why I say that those bills can't be calculated. Yes, I can concede that these costs would be cheaper if you didn't have kids, but my question is, how do you separate the costs? The courts don't even use it in their formula. If you ever do the child support formula, you can actually do it yourself. you can go online, you can go on any friend of the court website and actually put in the formula, and it'll calculate how the child support is done. They don't ask you your rent. They don't ask how much your car note is. They don't ask how much your grocery bills is. They don't ask how much your utilities are. They don't care because it's not a part of the formula. Hence, that's not what it's used for. That's not what it's designed to be used for. Now, again, I will concede that in households, people use it for. I'm pretty sure the child support I paid to my ex-wife, she probably used it for some of her utilities or whatnot. And, you know, I have no problem with that as long as the kids are getting what they need as far as what I'm supposed to be helping out with in that household, because I still have to support them in my household. Let's not forget that. I still have to support them here. So all the stuff that they need there, they also need here. So, you know, I know times can get hard, things can change, people can lose jobs, you know, things in the home can happen. And, you know, sometimes as a parent, you have to juggle finances. Sometimes you have to rob Peter to pay Paul. Sometimes you have to put off this bill to make sure that bill is covered. So sometimes, yeah, a child support check might come in, but the rent is due. And, you know, you might have been sick or something might have happened and you didn't have the full amount from your job to cover your, you know, the household bill. So you take that child support, throw it with that, boom, pay those bills. And then when you get paid yourself, you use your check to pay for whatever the child support is going to pay. That's a given. That's what I expect. That's called being a parent. But where we go wrong is where we have this sense of entitlement and this sense of thing, just because I'm the parent and I have the child, that you're supposed to be paying my rent. You're supposed to be paying my utilities. No, those are your jobs. You're an adult. And frankly, my opinion is if you can't pay those bills on your own, then you probably shouldn't even have the children in the first damn place. And if I've made anyone angry by that statement, so what? Those are basic necessities. Those are basic things that you're supposed to assist with. Those are basic things as a parent that you're supposed to do. I'll give you an example. Let's just say if you had no kids and you got your place, and 9 times out of 10, if you ain't have any kids, you probably get yourself a one bedroom. That one bedroom costs $700. Now let's just say, now that you have a child, you have to get a two bedroom. Two bedroom is about $825. Okay. That's only $125 difference per month. Now if you take that $125 difference, if you split that in half, because you have to split it in half, because you're responsible for your child and the non-custodial is responsible for the child, that breaks down to $62.50 a month. So let's not act like your rent is breaking the bank because you have a child. We can even add on to the fact that what if you happen to have more than one child? Perhaps by 2 or 3 different fathers. I actually have to get gender specific for this. What if you have a 2-bedroom and you have 2 girls or 2 boys and they share the same bedroom? Now you can take that $125 and you got to split it in 3 because they have 2 different fathers. So you're now, it's basically a $30-something a month cost difference. But they don't, as I said before, the courts do not calculate that. How do you even split bills amongst the fathers or more specific, you know, or the non-custodials? What if one father is active and the other isn't active? Does the active parent, at this point in this part of the argument, I do have to get gender specific. But what if you have an active father and one father who's not active? Is the active father responsible for paying for the non-active father's child when it comes to these rent? And how does utilities work? Like literally, how do you itemize costs for lights, water, and heat? How do you do that? How do you say, okay, well, I got 2 kids and, or even myself, and this kid used this much amount of water. This kid used this much amount of water. So they're responsible. You can't do that. It makes absolutely no sense. And this is the reason why the courts don't even include that in their costs. So no, the non-custodial is not obligated and responsible for paying your everyday bills. I don't care how you feel about it, how emotional you get about it, what you think. I don't care what they did in the past, what they're doing in the future. It doesn't matter. Because if you use that logic, you can't use the logic only to benefit you. If rent is to be calculated, then should his rent be calculated in the court and the cost as well to determine how much he or she should pay? So for example, if we're going to count rent, you have to also have to account for the other parent's rent or mortgage. So if their rent or their mortgage go up, does that mean their child support should go down? The amount they pay. If you move and your rent goes down, does the amount of child support that you're supposed to get should go down because now your cost is less? I'm pretty sure you're going to say no to that. But you'll believe that child support should be paid, should go towards your rent because it benefits you. That's hypocrisy. That's being a hypocrite. What happens if you actually move in with family or you live with someone and you actually have no rent? What if you have no rent? So that child support costs should drop down dramatically because you actually have no rent. These costs, you don't even have these costs. You don't even have rent, utilities, and groceries. Should child support then stop? No. Should it go down dramatically? No. Because even if you live with someone, the child is still going to need child care. The child still is going to need clothes. The child is still going to need medical, still going to have medical expenses. That's what child support is for. It's not for all the other decisions that you decide to make, like getting a car note. Car note, that's optional. I don't even have a car note. I haven't had a car note since college. You're not required to get a car note. You can't hold somebody responsible for the extra liabilities that you decide to take on. Some people save up. Once they get enough money, they just buy it, or they just take their taxes and buy a car off the lot and have no note. That's your decision. But if you decide to get a car note, then you should be very able to pay your own car note. Even, yes, it's taking your child back and forth to school or to this and to that. You know, and there's nothing wrong with the non-custodial helping out with gas and here and there, or maybe even taking on some of that responsibility themselves. I would encourage that. But don't sit and think that they're obligated to pay these costs. They're not. Absolutely not. You know, as I was saying before, I want people to understand that there's nothing wrong with taking child support, covering expenses needed to be to keep the home afloat. You know, I have to believe that what most responsible parents do or should do, it's inevitable. I don't know. If you have an opposing opinion that makes sense, I'm going to say that actually makes sense. I really want you to respond to this episode and tell me why. Why do you think your child support is supposed to be used for your rent, your utilities, and your... If you really believe that the non-custodial parent is responsible for covering those expenses for you, then I want you to tell me then what is your obligation? Because being a parent, it's both. Both of you are obligated to support that child. If the non-custodial responsibility is to pay those, that's simply because you have the child in the house, then what is your responsibility then? If you don't make enough to pay your own rent, there should be questions. If you don't make enough to buy your own groceries, there should be questions. To pay your own utilities, there should be questions. I don't know. Well, I guess at this point, I'll leave it up to you guys to make the conversations about this. As I said before, I love to hear from you. You can send me video. You can send me recordings for questions and things of that nature. I am going to have another subject matter coming up. As I talked to Waffle One before, but the one I really want to get into is what's called the baby boy effect. That's going to be the next episode. So until then, peace.